Man, what a day that one day will be. Can't even imagine that day that we see Jesus face to face and see heaven for the first time. Man, we have a lot to look forward to when we have faith in Jesus. Go to the book of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, second book in the Bible. Mark chapter 8. While you're turning there, something I did want to announce that I did not announce earlier. We're so happy that Miss Carol came through her surgery, and she's done very well. She spent about, 6 days in the hospital, finally got to go home. But we would like to help her out with some meals until Saturday, starting tomorrow. And if y'all, anybody could help. If you could see Miss Marty helps organize that. Any of you ladies that feel you could be a help preparing some meals for them, see Miss Marty. Miss Marty will tell you what days are needed. And Brother Ron said that, you know, he would love to see ribeye steak every day. Brother Ron, did you say that? No? He's looking around. No, he didn't say that. But just trying to help the man out here. But no, they would appreciate some help. She's not able to be mobile, and so that would be a great help. If we can be a help to her, we'd sure love to do that, and very happy about it. Miss Judy, thank you for that beautiful song. And appreciate you using your talents to sing in church. And it was a blessing. Mark chapter 8. If you're there, say amen. All right. I'm going to read to you a portion of scripture that no doubt is familiar. No doubt you've read it in your personal studies. No doubt you may have even heard messages on it. And we're going to look at some things that the Lord laid on my heart about it. I've talked about a lot of things over the last several months. We've had all kinds of topics come up. And the Lord has been giving me wonderful nuggets out of my personal Bible studies. These sermons have been emerging, and I've been praising the Lord for it. But I also believe we have to keep the main thing, the main thing. We've got to always be a lighthouse. We've got to always be asking people to search their heart to make sure that they are ready to meet God. And this question that is going to be asked in Mark chapter 8 goes along with that idea. So let's look at it together here. Mark 8, verse 34. It says here in Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We'll stop there. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you'll use the thoughts of this message today to be a blessing and to be a help. Lord, I remember that day in Hot Springs, Arkansas, as a young boy being raised in church, hearing my father preach multiple times a week, being in family altar and devotions and prayer and going with my family to hear my father preach revivals. Lord, I came to the knowledge of salvation earlier in life than some people. And I remember that night that I couldn't sleep, wondering if I was going to go to heaven if I died. And I woke my mom and dad up in the middle of the night crying and told them that I needed to be saved. And my dad questioned me that night and determined that I had understanding of Scripture. Even though I was young, he determined that I had a working knowledge of sin and the consequence of sin, and that there was a heaven and that there was a hell. And that night, I can still remember getting on my knees at the foot of my mom and dad's bed. My mother was on one side, my dad on the other. And I asked you into my heart to save me. And Lord, it is my hope and my desire, as I know it is your hope and desire, that all hear the gospel and that all people have an opportunity to receive you as their Savior. And Lord, I believe that as a church, there's many important topics, and we do our best to share those. But Lord, there are times that I have to bring it back to the most important thing and keep the main thing. And that question is, are people ready to meet you? Lord, I pray that you'll anoint me with your Spirit this morning, and I pray that those that are here today can tune out anything that's distracting them, And Lord, I pray that they'll let the Holy Spirit do a work in their heart and focus and really, really do a serious evaluation of where they stand in all of this. And Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, if we can be used to help add another name to the book of life, then Lord, we yield ourselves up for that purpose. And that is our goal today. Now, Lord, use me as your instrument as I try to bring these things out in this little message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, life is full of questions. Sometimes when I'm alone, my mind begins to ponder very important, dark, deep thoughts. I mean, I start to ask questions to myself like, how can a brown cow eat green grass and give white milk? How does that work? How does that happen? And I'll contemplate that. Sometimes I wonder, why does milk go bad when it's not in the refrigerator, but it stays fresh in the cow that is not refrigerated? I spend a lot of time wondering about that. I wish that the government would do some kind of study to answer that, because it's important. Sometimes I wonder, when I take an aspirin, how does it know where to go? Like, one time I'll take an aspirin because, you know, my wrist is hurting. The next day, because my head is hurting. I may take an aspirin because my knee is hurting. But how does the aspirin know where to go? How does this work? You ever wondered about that? I've literally spent time, and I'm not kidding. I've spent time wondering, how do they make seedless grapes? How do they grow seedless grapes? I know there's an answer, but I have pondered the question. I've wondered about this. Why do they call boxing rings when they're square? Why are boxing rings called rings when they're shaped like a square? Where do missing socks go? I had this question last night. My wife and I literally had, she's sitting right there. Honey, did we not have this discussion in our house last night? Literally, as I had like 9 socks laying across my bed that I just got out of the dryer. I like to wear, you know, colorful socks, and a lot of you have given me, you know, really neat socks as gifts. And I've got 9 socks laying across my bed, and I'm looking at it, and I said, Christy, where do the socks go? And we literally had a discussion. My wife concluded the discussion with this. This is the fact. And she said it very scientifically, that everybody knows that the dryer eats them. That mean dryer eats the socks. But I wonder, where do the socks go? I mean, where are they at? I have got some beautiful socks, and I have one sock, and it's, I can't find the other one anywhere. It's gone. I mean, the FBI needs to throw some energy into answering this question for mankind. Where do the socks go? I don't know. It's a mystery. I think there's a sock dimension that they disappear into. Somebody asked this question once, and I have literally spent time pondering what would happen if you're traveling at the speed of light in a car, and then you turned on your headlights. What would happen? I've wondered at times, which is correct? Do you hang the toilet paper over or under? Who says over? Raise your hand. Who says under? Raise your hand. Who doesn't care either way? There you go. Well, there's a debate about this, and I have literally tried to figure out which one is best, and I've tried it and tested it. I wonder, one time, I was looking at a little ladybug that I found out in the yard, and I wondered to myself, what do they call a male ladybug? Are they all ladybugs? I don't know. But I wondered about it. We have a lot of questions in life. Life comes with a lot of questions. There are daily questions, important questions. Some of you ladies this morning asked one of the most important questions that you ask. What in the world am I going to wear today? Often staring into a closet jammed full of clothes with your conclusion, I have nothing good to wear. and you pulled something out and said, I guess I'll just wear this old thing. But it's an important question. What am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat today? How many of you spend some time daily wondering and contemplating, planning what you're going to eat? Breakfast, for lunch, for dinner. It's a big question, am I right? I mean, you ever eat something and you didn't plan it out good and you realized after you ate it, it wasn't what you wanted? Then you spent the whole night just roaming through the kitchen, eating everything you could find, trying to find what would scratch the itch. And if you had just spent some time asking yourself, what am I really hungry for? You might have done better that night. We ask that question, what am I going to eat today? We wake up, what are we going to get done today? What is today going to mean? What am I going to accomplish? What's on the schedule today? What am I going to get done today? Those are daily questions. Some questions that we ask, life is full of questions. Some questions are more deep. There's the eternal question of why am I here? And man is trying to answer that question, and we seek the answer through philosophy. We seek it through religion. We seek it through purposes in life. But why am I here? It's a big question. Man is always asking, what is my purpose in life? What did God make me to do? And am I doing that purpose? The question, how long will I live? Who will I marry? Am I ready to retire? Do I have enough money to retire? Have I been diligent in this? Have I planned correctly? What has my life accomplished? These are questions we ask. Questions like, am I a good person? Am I successful? Am I happy? Do people like me? Am I pretty? Am I talented? Am I popular? Man, life has a lot of questions. These are all questions that we've all asked. But all these questions that man asks all pale in comparison to this one big question. Here it is. Am I going to heaven? That is the big question. That is the important question. That is the single greatest question that a person should seek to answer in their life. There is simply no question that is more important than this question. Am I going to heaven? Say it with me. Am I going to heaven? We spend a lot of time working on life. We spend a lot of energy dealing with temporal things. But there are a lot of people who have spent very little thought into the most important question of life. Where will my soul spend eternity? The Word tells us some things about eternity and the importance of it. We read in the verse where Jesus asks a question. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? The simple fact of it is there will be many humans that will sell their soul and the eternal value of it for temporal pleasures and things that simply will not last. Is that a true statement? There will be many people who will throw away their soul, something that is eternal, and they'll trade it for something that is temporary. Jesus then went on to ask, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What earthly offering is there that has a value equal to your soul? What pleasure has a value and carries a value weight that you would deem is equal to the value of your soul? What a probing question that Jesus proposes here. And the Word of God tells us several things that are very important for us to understand today. I want to make this statement. Number one, this life is mortal and this life is short. Two statements there in one statement. This life is mortal, meaning it has an ending, and this life is short. James 4, verse 13, if you have your Bible, turn there. James 4, verse 13 expounds on this. This life is mortal. It does come with an ending. Anything that is mortal can and will die. And the Bible makes these statements to us to help us understand that we have a mortal body that lives a mortal life. It's important for you to come to grips with this, that regardless of how many vitamins you take, how many hours you spend on a treadmill, how many weights you lift, how many vegetables you eat, no matter how many pills you take and how many surgeries you have, eventually this mortal body will come to an end. If you believe that and accept that, say amen.
Amen.
Now listen what the Word says. James 4, verse 13 through 14 states this. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. The Bible tells us a truth here, that our life is like a vapor. It's there for a moment, but it does vanish away. It comes to an end. You know, you think about life and you think about how people live it. If you were to imagine that this cord that I'm holding, imagine that I'm holding it here. This represents birth right here, your birth, the end of this cord. Imagine this cord, if you will. Imagine that it goes through the wall, goes up through the ceiling, goes into space, and it just keeps going and going and going with an ending that is never found. It just keeps going and going and going. That cord never ends. That would be a description of your soul. Your soul had a birth when you came forward from your mom. Your life started. But if you imagine the rest of this going and there being zero end to this cord. Are you all imagining that? Are you catching this? Think about it, Jonah. That cord just keeps going. Christian, that cord goes all the way into space, past the moon, past Venus, past Saturn. It keeps going out of the Milky Way. It never ends. It just keeps going. That is your soul. It started, but it does not end. Now, here's the reality. Imagine that this little silver part represents your lifespan. From birth to the day that you draw your final breath. All right? Imagine it ending at the end of this, where my finger is, and then the rest of this cord is your soul going on for eternity. Now, here's the startling truth that I've observed in most people. Most people put zero thought into all of that. They live completely for that. That is the motivation for every decision they make. That is the basis of every direction they take. What pleases, what satisfies, what is important in this section. And they do not spend 1 minute thinking about the end of this all the way through, all the way into space where it never, never, ever ends. We understand that this life is mortal and that this life is short. If you live to be 100, you still didn't really live that long compared to eternity. But then the Bible states a second thing that I want to draw to your attention. The Bible states that there is an immortal life that follows this mortal life. Think of the cord. Life ends at the end of the silver part, but your soul goes on, never dying. It never, ever ceases to exist. Now, we understand that there'll be what the Bible refers to as a resurrection day, where the trump will sound. Those that sleep in Jesus will be resurrected. Our soul and our body will be reunited. That body will be brought up out of the grave. It'll be reunited with its soul, and it will forever then be, it will forever then be with the Lord. Let's look at this in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in your word. In the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15. Turn there. Now, I realize that many of you know these things. I'm going to ask you to bear with me. I do all I can to feed the sheep week after week after week. I try to bring things through Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to be a help, to encourage you, to feed you, to help you on your spiritual journey. But we need to never, ever, as a church, take for granted that everybody who sits within our church service knows these things. Everybody here that got saved had a day that you were born again, and there was a period when you were a baby in Christ. And somewhere, somebody took the time to tell you how to get saved. And I want to encourage you that are mature Christians to not feel like you don't need this, or that, you know, I came to get something for me. We need to understand that the most important mission of a church is to tell people how to be saved. And there could be somebody here today who, you're not against Jesus and you're not fighting it. Just no one's ever taken time to tell you these things. And I do not want to take for granted that every week, week after week, everybody that sits in this room is prepared to stand before God. And in that thought, it's important that at times, and several times through the year, I stop and preach to that thought. Are you ready to meet God? Are you saved? Life's full of questions. But here's the big one. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Do you know that? I don't mean, do you wonder about it, or do you hope that you do? I'm saying, are you going to heaven? Do you know this? There is life, this life that we have, but it's mortal and it is short. But there is an immortal life that follows this mortal life. 1 Corinthians 15, 34 says this. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I may be speaking to someone today that describes you. You're not against God, you just don't have the knowledge. It's our job to help you get that knowledge as children of God. And that's what I'm trying to do today. Now, he goes on to say, I speak this to your shame. Listen to me, there is no shame in being ignorant. There is great shame in remaining ignorant when the answers are there, when the opportunity to learn is there. Now, you may have came in the room this morning with no knowledge of how to get saved and no knowledge about how to go to heaven. But if you remain, because you sit here today and you tune me out and you think about football scores and you think about what you're going to have for lunch and all the other questions, and you don't deal with this question, then there's great shame in remaining ignorant when truth is placed in front of you and will be broken down in a way that you can grab it. So we see that there are people who had no knowledge of God, and he said, I speak this to your shame. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 goes on to say, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now catch this, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Talking about heavenly bodies versus earthly bodies, angelic bodies versus our bodies. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Adam was made by what? Somebody answer that. What was Adam made out of? The earth, dust of the earth. He was earthy. That's that mortal, corruptible body. But we see here in verse 48, verse 47, he says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's talking about Adam and Jesus being that second illustration here. We're going to have the image of the heavenly. We'll have the image of the Lord. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We see that there's going to be a change in us. When God made us, we were earthy. Bible says that from dust we came from, and one day dust we shall return. But the Bible says there's going to be a resurrection. And in that resurrection, there's going to be a change that God implements on this mortal body. It will be resurrected, not as it was first constructed, but it will be reconstructed, and it will be immortal. It will not corrupt as this body does. That body doesn't get gray hair. That body doesn't get aches and pains and knee pain and back pain. And that body doesn't need shots for diabetes. And that body doesn't need glasses to read. That body is going to be a perfected body that does not corrupt. So we have to understand that right now you and I have a mortal body and we are dealing with a mortal life, and that life is very short. But following this life, there is an immortal, eternal life, an eternal existence with an immortal body that has been designed by God to live in that eternal existence. Are you with me so far? Amen. Y'all following with me here? So we see these scriptures back up this teaching, or we see where we get this teaching from the Holy Scripture. So we see here in the understanding that there is a life, this kind of life, it's earthy, but following this life, there is an eternal life that never ends. The Bible states that after this life, there are two destinations that a soul can enter into. The Bible states destination one, and sadly, the Bible states that more souls are headed toward this first destination than the second. But that first destination is a place God calls hell. That is a place of eternal damnation, where the Bible says the flame is never quenched, where the worm dieth not, where the tortures and the horrors of it are beyond anything that our mind can imagine. We see it described in many places in Scripture. We see Jesus go as far as to say that if your eye offends you, pluck it out, because it's better to go through this mortal life blind than to spend eternity in hell. And what he is saying is the things that your eyes are looking at that keep you from giving your heart to the Lord, if you have to pluck your eye out to give your heart to Jesus, then do it. He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. And of course, he was talking about materialism. People that have such a hold on this mortal life that they cannot let go of it to receive eternal life. That mortal desire stands between them and salvation. There's a lot of people who cannot choose Jesus because of the things that this world offers that is in the way, things that their hands have a hold of. Jesus said, if you got to cut your hand off, do it. Because it'd be worth it to live the rest of this mortal life with one hand, but go to heaven. I'm reminded often of the story of how they capture monkeys to sell to zoos, and how they capture them without harming them or hurting them. And they'll go out and they'll see where the monkeys are dwelling. There's usually big trees. The monkeys will live up in those trees. And they'll take a big hollow log, and they'll drill holes in that hollow log. And they'll put it right underneath that big tree where those monkeys are living. And they'll put shiny objects inside that hollow log where that monkey can see something shining from up in the tree. He'll look down, he'll see down in that hole, and he'll see something shining. And man, his curiosity grabs him. His desire gets the best of him. Before he knows it, he's coming down that tree to investigate and to inspect. And the more it shines and glimmers, the more he wants it. He'll eventually stick his hand down that drilled hole. He'll grab that shiny object. Now here's where the genius comes in. They've made sure that shiny object is bigger than the hole. That monkey will grab it and start trying to pull it out. But it's stuck. And man, he'll fight and he'll pull and he'll pull and he'll pull. And all the hunter has to do is just come over with a bag, put it over him or a net, and just grab it and take him out. Because that monkey will not let go of that shiny object. It's too valuable to him. Even to his own capture. He will not let it go. I wonder how many people have heard the call of Jesus. Maybe it was in a church service like this. Or maybe it was in a revival meeting. Maybe it was in a living room where a family member shared the gospel. But you couldn't let go of the shiny things of your life. One day the devil's going to put a net on you. He's going to bag you up. The Bible says that this destination, as horrible as it is, it says broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that find this path. Hard to believe. But there's a second place that the Bible says that a soul can go in this eternal abode. And that place is called heaven, the place where God himself lives, the place that God has prepared for those who die prepared, for those who die with Jesus. So here's the big question. Are you saved? Let's listen to what the Bible says. You don't have to turn there. Let me read some scriptures quickly, though, for time's sake. The famous verse, John 3:16, starts off, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Well, that word saved is such a great word. You'll see it over and over again. The purpose of Jesus coming was so that you could be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternity in that place called hell. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." That word pasture was a word for peace. Jesus said, "I'm the door that leads to this salvation, this place of peace." In Acts 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 10 verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boy, there's that beautiful word. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9 declares this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hebrews 2 verse 3 states this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Boy, that word neglect is so important, because I believe that is the word that would describe most people. I believe, as a man who has spent time going door to door trying to lead people to Jesus, and a man that has preached now for 35 years the blessed gospel of Jesus, I believe that there are not very many rejectors. I have met a few, but there's a lot of neglectors. The truth is, there is people in this room, you have not rejected Jesus. You're not on a campaign to say, I don't believe in Jesus. That's a big myth. No, you believe in a way. The problem is not rejection, it's neglection. You've done nothing with it. You've just left the blank unfilled. You just kind of think some way it's going to sort itself out. Somehow Jesus knows what I feel. Jesus knows what I want. Listen, the Bible says that we have to place our faith in him and we have to consciously seek him to save us. And so we see here the question is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Listen, the question is, the big question. Man, there's a lot of questions in life. You've asked a lot of questions this morning. What am I going to eat for breakfast today? Am I going to go to church? Am I going to stay home? What am I going to wear to church? How am I going to fix my hair today? Big questions have been asked this morning. But all those questions pale in comparison to this question. Are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? Are you sure that you're saved? Oh, it's so important. Most people will answer this question this way. Well, I feel that I've done some good things. Yet the Bible declares that we cannot be saved by doing our good works. How many of you understand that? Say amen. Amen. The Bible declares, and I read it to you, for by grace are you saved. Through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That word boast means to brag or to be lifted up in your own goodness. The truth is, none of us deserve heaven, nor can we ever deserve heaven. No matter what works we present, we will fall short. I'm so grateful that we're not saddled with the responsibility to work our way there. I'm glad that Jesus paid the price on Calvary. Jesus is the only answer to this question. Some people think prayers of others is going to get them there. Some people think their church is going to get them there. Those are often the answers to that question. Yeah, I believe I'm going to heaven because my church membership, because our preacher absolved my sin. or I went before a priest, or I went into a confession booth, or I gave money, I burned candles, whatever the case may be, the solutions that religion has offered. But all of those fail. Jesus says, I am the only way. John 14, verse 6 states this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven. Hey, the question is, am I going to heaven? It's the most important question you will ever ask. Am I going to heaven? I'll close with this. Ivan McGuire was 35 years old when he was filming a parachuting lesson at 10,000 feet in North Carolina. In 1988, McGuire had completed over 800 successful jumps before this day, where he was going to film, for training purposes, a very large parachute jump. In the airplane, as he prepared himself to make this jump, he saddled himself with much equipment, including several cameras, several video cameras, and he was very cumbered about with this recording equipment that was strapped to him in various ways. As he was waiting the jump, he made all this checklist of all the things that he needed to record this jump. And it was all set. He checked his batteries. He checked his connections. He made sure every camera was green light, that it was working. And he had all this equipment. The pilot then turned on the light that said they were over the jump site. And Ivan McGuire, after making 800 successful jumps, jumped out of that airplane, loaded with all this equipment. But when he reached to pull the ripcord, it was then that he realized he'd forgot to strap on his parachute. This man filmed his own death. His chilling last words are heard as he's plummeting toward earth, as he shouts, "Oh my God, no." And he fell to his death. And he'd packed all kinds of gear. Answered a lot of questions. Do I have my cameras? Do I have my video? Do I have my battery? Do I have my goggles? Do I have the recording devices? Do I have the comm in place so I can communicate? But he failed to ask the most important question. Beloved, life's full of questions. Every day, you're banging out answers to questions. What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What should a man give in exchange for his soul? Where's your soul going to spend eternity? That's life's biggest question. And you better have an answer in that blank when you leave this life. I want you to bow your heads. I know it's a somber mood, and I know that I'm usually known for humor and things of that nature, but today we've got to focus on this, the soberness, the somberness of this question. And I don't know why God led me to this topic today, although I have to visit this topic often, because I never want to take for granted that everybody who comes to church is saved. There could be somebody here today who you've been a neglecter. You've neglected this great salvation. Week after week, you've gone home knowing that you've needed to accept Jesus as your Savior and claim Him as your Lord, to call out to Him with your mouth, and in your heart, accept Him and the salvation that He offers. But I don't know. For whatever reason, you just could never put that in the blank. You've just left that question blank. Am I going to heaven? Today, I want to encourage you to fill in the blank. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Not because I'm pressuring you. And not because everybody's looking at you, because we don't know who's who in this room. And I'd have no idea who this message would impact. But let me tell you why you need to do it, because it's the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. And when those few inches of cord called your life are passed, there's a never-ending cord that just keeps going. How much time have you spent thinking about that part of the cord? How much time have you spent laying away treasures for that part of the cord? How much time have you spent living for that eternal life in this mortal life? I hope that you're saved. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I remember the day that I made Jesus my Savior," would you slip your hand up this morning? I remember the day that I called on Him, and I'm ready. I'm ready to jump out of the plane, man. Got my parachute on. Amen. You may lower your hands. Now, with no one looking but me, every head bowed, every eye closed, would there be anybody that would say, "Preacher, I want to answer that question today. I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I want to answer the biggest question of life. Would you help me?" If you'll just slip your hand up, put it back down, I'll pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call you out. Is there anybody today? "Preacher, I need to answer that big question. I need to answer it." In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to be right here where I'm standing now. And I'm not going to drag anybody out or come back to you, but if the Holy Spirit is talking to you, why don't you come up and let us help you? Maybe you've had a big question, "Am I going to heaven?" and you don't know the answer. Let us help you. We can't save you. No church can save you. But we can give you some vital information to help you know how to be saved through Jesus. What a great day that would be for you. Dear Father, I pray that if there's anybody in this room struggling with that big question, "Am I going to heaven?" Lord, I pray that they would not let fear or embarrassment or anxiety keep them back. There is nothing worth their soul. And Lord, I pray that not through pressure or fear tactics, I haven't tried to do that today. I've just been knowledgeable, bearing simple facts that are in the Word. Not told a bunch of gory stories and tried to scare everybody, but I am saying that our soul is eternal and it's the most valuable thing we have. And there are two eternal destinations, and I want them to go to heaven for that destination. And I pray that if they're here, they'll give us the chance to help them. We ask this in Jesus' name.